Welcome to the Valley Brook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our summer series, Walking with Jesus. In this series, we're going to closely examine the life and ministry of Jesus, from where he went, to how he thinks, to who he talks to. We're going to step into the shoes of his disciples and learn what they learned from closely walking beside him on his journeys, so that hopefully, when the season is over, we look that much more like him and can do the same ourselves. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, church. My name's Patrick Fitzgerald. Good morning. That was very good. I'm on staff here as the worship arts director and humbled to be able to speak this morning. So would you just pray with me that the Spirit speaks through me? Dear Lord, we come before you. We want to learn more about you. We want to sit at your feet, and we want to walk alongside you in our lives. I pray that you would just stir our hearts in affection towards you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in 2017, Merriam-Webster introduced a new word to their dictionary. This came on the heels of one of the most polarizing presidential elections America has ever known, second maybe only to the one right after it, launching the political wildfire we're still navigating to this day. The first known use of this word actually came in 1945 from a columnist who is describing people who mindlessly obey the government. This word, of course, is sheeple. Merriam-Webster defines sheeple as people who are docile, compliant, or easily influenced. And I think if you talk to any American today, they'd say that's a great description for someone who voted the opposite of them. If it's not readily apparent, it's a combination of sheep and people, and it's intended to be an insult, carrying the connotation that you have the intelligence level of a sheep. However, the Bible frequently compares humans to sheep. So is God being rude to the human beings he created and tasked with caring for the rest of his creation? Or has our American lens prevented us from grasping this comparison? So I want to talk for a second about sheep. Sheep have definitely earned their reputation for being unintelligent, but they are not as dumb as you might think. The main issues with sheep come when they feel the need to leave the flock alone, and there's a few reasons they might do this. Sheep have the same basic needs as every animal: food, water, and sleep, but they also have some idiosyncrasies you might not know about. If they're swarmed with flies, for instance, they might just take off running like crazy to get away from them and literally just run away from the flock. They're also sensitive and to uncomfortable social situations. So if there's like a dominant sheep who's trying to get space, that can create tension that will prevent them from resting. So some sheep who leave the flock for any of the above reasons might also lead other sheep to follow them. You see, sheep have great peripheral vision, but they can't see in front of them. They're pretty much just to the end of their nose. So if a sheep takes off, they're like, oh, we're going this way. Sheep have actually been known to walk right off of a cliff because they can't see, and other sheep just go right with them. In ancient literature, sheep were referred to as those of the golden hooves because of the impact on the land that they graze. A good flock can just make the land overflow with abundance because of how well their manure fertilizes. It's maybe the best of any domesticated stock. And their choice to rest on higher ground allows it to hit areas that most others will not go to and then make its way down to the lower ground. On the other end of the spectrum, a poorly managed flock can just absolutely devastate a land and make it nearly impossible to be healthy again. Everything I just talked about is almost completely controlled by the shepherd. Good shepherds know where to take the flock and when to do it to make sure their needs are met. In fact, sheep will only lay down if all their needs are met, physical and social. The presence of a shepherd can actually calm a dominant sheep. So when there's a fight over like a spot to rest, the presence of the shepherd can settle that and they can come to the shepherd. And it will make sure that no strays are leaving and will lead the rest of the flock to danger. So if we just take all of this to Psalm 23 for 1 second, King David of Israel, who grew up a shepherd, says this: "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He willingly calls himself a sheep and says that God meets all his needs." So we're in a series called Walking with Jesus this summer. And the vision behind this is that we would intentionally walk with Jesus to learn how he lived and what he taught in order to better emulate him in our lives. Jesus, the man who never wrote a book, but about whom more books have been written than anyone in history, who was born into poverty and died as a criminal, and yet more knees have bowed to him than any king that's ever ruled, who never earned a degree, but his teachings provoked more study and introspection than any teacher of any variety, who started a revolution 2,000 years ago that's still alive today, not by waging war, but by submitting himself to be killed by the unjust authority of his day. His 33 years of life on this earth has had a greater impact on humanity and the world than any other person who's ever lived. So this morning, we're just going to talk more about him. You get to decide if he's worth following with your life. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in the Gospel of John this morning, chapter 10. If you don't, that's fine. We have it on the screen behind me. So verses 1 through 18 say, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Okay, so Jesus is a gate. What exactly is he talking about here? So this may take a little bit of context, so let's break it down. First, I'd like to point out that his audience for this speech was a group of Pharisees. In the previous chapter, chapter 9, Jesus had miraculously made a man that was born blind see for the first time. But the Pharisees took issue with this because it happened on the Sabbath, Now, for those who don't know, the practice of Sabbath is something that we've talked about here before. It's a 24-hour period where worshipers of God enjoy his presence by resting from their work. It was given as a gift. Every 6 days, people were to stop and rest on the seventh. But a fierce legalism took over and was driven by the teachers of the law, which included the Pharisees. The Pharisees were a group of scribes or teachers, along with the Sadducees, who had really one focus. The Israelites were God's people, set apart to be image bearers of God and his creation. They were his hands and his feet in the world, making the world feel the love that God has for it. My favorite metaphor of an image bearer is of an angled mirror, reflecting the love of God into the world and reflecting the praises of the world back to God. So for those who call themselves followers of Jesus, that's our mission. We're image bearers. We're to reflect the love of God into the world and reflect the praises of it back to God. Israel, at that time, was a religion, but it was also a nationality, a whole people tasked with the vocation of image bearers. And we see in the library of Scripture how this ebbed and flowed. The Israelites would do well for a time and then horribly for another time. The consensus belief, bear with me, of the Israelites during that period was that God had not fully returned and rested in the temple. The teachers of the law were solely focused on keeping the people faithful to God so that he might return and rest in their temple, which would signal a return to glory. The Pharisees sought to accomplish this by taking their strict temple laws, laws that you can find in your Old Testament, meant for the priests and the high priests while they were performing rituals in the presence of God, and bringing them out so that all of them, everyone, would obey those laws at all times. They gained a lot of traction, but their ideas devolved into just pure legalism, and Jesus constantly calls them out for this lack of integrity. So, in John chapter 9, Jesus gives sight to a blind man. The Pharisees hold a trial, looking to accuse Jesus of working on the Sabbath. In their eyes, Jesus was leading people toward unfaithfulness in the covenant, undoing all of their efforts. To them, this was life or death. To Jesus, the Pharisees were following a law that couldn't be further from understanding, a law that King David in the Psalms said he loved meditating on, a law meant to embody the love of the Creator God, not the harsh strictness of a dictator. Jesus, in the book of John, makes 7 I am statements, which should bring to mind to anyone who is listening the book of Exodus, when Moses asked God in a burning bush, "What's your name?" And he says, "I am." In that moment, Jesus is blatantly making the statement that he and God are one and the same. On top of that, what he says he is incredibly narrow and exclusive. So if we just look again, very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. Now, some more context. A sheepfold was a structure used to house sheep overnight, sometimes multiple flocks at a time. So I have a picture here. That's pretty much what it looked like. It was probably taller, but it was meant to prevent people from seeing in. And that one gate there is the only way in or out. It was common for shepherds to lay down in front of that gate, both to secure the sheep so that they wouldn't leave because they won't step over a human being, and to deter a robber from coming in. So they would not be able to get in around, see around, and the only way in would be to step over the shepherd. So multiple flocks could be in a sheepfold at any given time. That's the significance of Jesus saying, "I call them and they know my voice and they come out." A flock will know their shepherd's voice. So when the shepherd comes in and calls them, they leave and follow him. So in the morning, like if they were in there overnight, multiple shepherds would come in, they'd call their sheep, and then they'd lead them out. Jesus is telling the gatekeepers of Israelite law that he, not them, is the way to God. And on top of that, he's saying anyone who does not enter through him is a thief and a robber. Let that one sink in. This is Jesus. He's meek, but not mild. This wasn't just a rebuke, though. This was also an invitation. He was asking them to repent and follow him back to the Father. This is Jesus. He may offer a narrow way, but he offers it to everyone. Now he goes on, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The Israelites at that time, and much earlier, pretty much for their entire existence pre-Jesus, the scriptures were like what they knew. If I were to say a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, very few people in here wouldn't know what I'm talking about. And a whole bunch of things would come to mind. This, of course, is a reference to Star Wars. This is how they viewed the scriptures. The scriptures was like that to them. So when Jesus says this, everyone listening, not just who he was talking to, everyone listening, this would bring to mind Ezekiel 34, and I'm going to read it to you. Woe to you, shepherds of Israel, who only take care of yourselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays, or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, because my flock lacks a shepherd and so has been plundered and has become food for all the wild animals, and because my shepherds did not search for my flock but cared for themselves, rather than for the flock, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against the shepherds and will hold them accountable for my flock. I will remove them from tending the flock so that the shepherds can no longer feed themselves. I will rescue my flock from their mouths, and it will no longer be food for them. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and will look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in a good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost, bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Do you see what Jesus is saying to them? He's saying to them that he is God making good on that promise. He's come to shepherd the flock himself. Jesus is God in human form, who wants to bring not just the tribes of Israel, those he was speaking to, but all the nations of the world into his flock. This Jesus, who we glorify today as King of the world is our good shepherd, and he's speaking both to the flock as a whole and to each one of us individually. So I ask you, do you know his voice? Harrison preached last week, and he gave some stunning statistics about the state of our world today. If you missed it, or if you want to listen again, I highly recommend it. He did a great job. But he pointed out that globalization it's brought many benefits, but we're more anxious, we're more depressed, we're more busy, and we're more angry than humans have been in history. It's urgent that we slow down to the pace of God and listen to his voice now more than ever. This might mean having and doing less to make space, because the more we have and do, the harder it can become to hear the Good Shepherd's voice. Once we made space for the voice of the shepherd, we need to know how to discern it. Now, this is not an extensive list. These are three things that I can give you as a start for how to discern this voice. First, we need to know the scriptures. Not just individual verses, which is good, but to understand its place in the larger story. The Bible, the whole Bible, is one unified story that points to Jesus. And all of it shows God choosing to reveal himself to his creation. The Bible we have today is a precious gift. Ancient writings translated into our own language, a gift that people actually died to make a reality. William Tyndale was put to death in 1536 for the quote-unquote heresy of translating the Bible from Latin to English. And another side note, we have more original copies of the scriptures by far than any other ancient work. And now we even have it in our own language. So that's one way. Two, we have to make space to be still and listen. And if you really struggle to be still, Clark mentioned this a couple weeks ago, that's okay. A walk is a great alternative. In fact, research shows that walking actually increases communication between the left and the right brain. So that's why, if any of you have noticed, when you walk, you tend to think more clearly. There's science to back that up. Sometimes we might feel like he's not speaking to us, but what I've learned is that he's always speaking. We might just not be listening for what he's saying. We don't just listen for his answers to our questions. We listen for his agenda as well. What if he's not trying to tell you which job to take, which person to marry, which state to move to? What if he's just trying to tell you that you're loved and how much you're loved, and that no matter what you do, he wants to join you? When a sheep leaves the flock and wanders off alone, that's when it's at its most vulnerable. The body of Christ, which is us here this morning, is so crucial for believers, because when you're alone, you're at your most vulnerable. But not only that, God has always used his people to be his hands and his feet in the world, even to speak for him. Prophecy is an often misunderstood word that simply means a human is speaking God's words. The Old Testament has 16 books written by prophets, one of which we just heard from earlier in Ezekiel. But those prophets were asked to speak for God to the authority of their day. Now, as members of the body of Christ, we are given the ability to prophesy at times, to speak for God to someone. So maybe God isn't telling you which job to take, but he's telling you to tell your brother or sister which job they should take. Maybe God will speak the answers you're looking for to a member of this church family. The band can go ahead and join me. I want to end with a story I heard from Pastor Jay Pathick. He's the national director of Vineyard USA, and he's the lead pastor of Mile High Vineyard in Denver, Colorado. Jay and his wife were praying for specific answers to specific problems in their life, problems that they said were lasting for months. Jay has one daughter who he describes can be a bit much to handle and compares her to the sun, says it's great, but it can be overpowering. Boy, do I know that one, if you all heard my son earlier. So he says he often sings a song to her to remind her to calm down. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. One night, after he sang this to his daughter, he goes to bed and finds his wife crying in there. She explains to him that she's never had a dad who would sing like that to her. One day, much later, they go to a night of worship and prayer at their church, and a person with the gift for the prophetic was there. Jay begins to secretly hope that this person will give him all the answers that he had been asking God, that he and his family had been asking God. This person starts praying just around the room for people at random. He gets to Jay, and he starts to pray for him. Excitement in Jay, he says, is rising, but does not answer any of the questions. And he jokes, well, at least I got a 2-for-1. He might hit my wife later. Person gets to his wife and stops and says, this is weird. I'm getting something really specific. I don't sing, so I'm just going to say it. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. Jesus is speaking. We have only to let go of our agendas, our things, our packed schedules, and listen. He wants you to know how much he loves you, and he wants to lead you to pastures and still waters. Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to give him the time to learn his voice? That word sheeple may be an insult, but I can't help imagining what the world would look like if every Christian were docile, compliant, and easily influenced by Jesus. If you're not a follower of Jesus and you're here today, or you're listening online, I want you to know you are most welcome among us and that you are more loved than you could ever imagine. If you want to know more about following Jesus, we would love to talk to you. Find me, find Brian, who you heard from earlier, anyone with a name tag. We would love to talk to you and give you next steps. If you're here or you're online and you do know Jesus, remember that your relationship with the Good Shepherd isn't just about what you do or what you think, but about spending time with the Good Shepherd and learning his voice, then following where it leads. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to have one more chance to worship our King Jesus in song. So would you bow your heads and pray with me? Father God, your glory is precious and beautiful. The works of your hands that we see in your creation are astounding. Your love is a precious gift. Help us to feel it in our daily lives. Give us the strength to trust your leading, that we would follow you to the abundance that you offer. Help us, God, to let go of our plans and agendas, that we would be fully led by our Good Shepherd. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.